It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bears lose, and it looked pretty bad. The Bears fall to the Los Angeles Chargers by a final score of 30-13 to the quarterbacks, Tyson Bagent. He was the man of interest for Bears fans in this game. 25 of 37, 232 yards, a couple of interceptions in this game. Justin Herbert was phenomenal, especially early on in the contest. He was, for the night, 31 of 40, 298 yards and three touchdowns tonight as the Chargers just absolutely dominate this game, 30-13. The Bears, you know, scoring late in this one on a short touchdown run by Tyson Bagent. Darrington Evans did have a nice third and four touchdown run as well for the Bears when the game was still somewhat in the balance, but the Bears lose it 2-6. I am Mark Grody. Good evening to everybody. As I am in for Mully from the Mully and Haw Show, you will hear from Mully with Haw tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. or make that from 5:30 a.m. until 10 a.m. But I am lucky to have a couple of former Bears with me here on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. We have Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz with us here. Olin, let's start with you. What are your opening thoughts about what happened to the Bears tonight in this 30-13 loss to the Chargers?
Yeah, we all wondered how real it was, what we saw against the Raiders and what we saw from the defense for 3 weeks, right? We all wondered if they could do that, if they could step up in class, go on the road versus what people consider a top six or seven quarterback in the NFL, even with their receivers out. And we found out tonight the Bears still have a long way to go. And you thought that you were excited about Bagent, Pat. We were excited about this secondary. We learned that Brisker is out. We knew that Bagent, we knew that people would make adjustments against him, and they sure did. They took away the, made him throw to the middle of the field, took away his easy throws. A tough game to watch for the Bears. A lot of hope going into it. And as a Chicago Bear fan, as a Chicago Bear analyst, you come out again thinking, man, we are a long way away from where we need to be.
Yeah, Olin, no doubt. And you said it when we were closing up the the pregame show. You said you've seen this before. You know, you couldn't pick the Bears because you felt like they were going to disappoint us again. And that was disappointing. And you summed it up perfectly. We were excited for 3 weeks with that defense, and they came out and played a bad game. I mean, the Chargers scored on all four of their drives in the first half. I mean, that's unacceptable. Well, they had zero sacks. I mean, they had a few pressures, but zero sacks on how many attempts did he have? 40 attempts. You know, that's just, you can't win games that way with a quarterback like that. And when you also took their roster and the Bears roster, I had a lot of hope that maybe things were turning for the Bears, but their roster just outclasses the Bears roster with the athletes and stars they have over there. And it showed tonight on Sunday Night Football. And it is, Olin, it's just disappointing that we get a little bit of hope. We hope they turn the corner a little bit. They go against a two-win team, and they get blown out like that on the road. And it's just, you know, it's disappointing. You know, Tyson Bagent kind of, I think, came back to earth and played like we thought he would play. He didn't play terrible. There's some things he did okay and things he didn't do well. But he kind of played in the middle of the road of what I thought he was going to play. But overall, they just got outclassed. They got outplayed, and they disappointed us again.
Yeah, I mean, they,
go ahead, Olin.
Sorry. Go ahead, man.
You know, they hit Mooney early, right? They hit Mooney early, and you're excited. You think, okay, he did what people said he couldn't do, right? He threw the ball down the field. Mooney makes a great catch, beats the DB pretty cleanly. And then right away, You know, you're wondering about the run game, and I didn't think the run game was terrible, but he wasn't getting the yards he got last week, right? He didn't keep him on track. They were in third and long, and we talked about in the pregame show, Pat, you didn't want to be in third and six or more against this defense and end up against that three-edge rush they like to use with their three-edge rushers. I'm talking about Bosa, Mack, and Tui, their draft pick, and Bosa beats Cody Whitehair pretty clean there, right? And then there's a sack. And then, you know, of course, we talked about in the pregame about the sweep to Tyler Scott last week that they got away with it, right? And, of course, Getsy gives a sweep
about you,
to
man.
Trent Taylor. Right? Like, why are we giving a sweep to Trent Taylor out there? Someone's going to have to explain to me. Maybe, Pat, you can, because I don't understand special teams as well as you, what Trent Taylor brings to us as a punt returner. I mean, if you catch it and return it and you're just looking for out of bounds, I just don't understand it after a while when I'm watching this game. But, you know, when you watch this team, Pat, to the bigger point, Grody, is this. They don't handle success well, right? Like, enough with the victory laps after one win, right? Enough with the we've arrived. We're here to, you know, I remember, Pat, you remember this well also. Ted Washington came over for Buffalo. Buffalo Bills, although they didn't win the Super Bowl, they did a lot of winning out there. And we won one game after not winning for a while. And we were in the locker room. I think it was week four, Pat, in 2001. And we were cheering like we won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And Ted Washington yelled at us, hey, act like you thought you were going to win this game, right? Mm-hmm. Act like you've been here before. Don't act like you won a Super Bowl. And what he was telling us is you haven't arrived. We have a lot of work to do. Let's get back to work and stop acting like one win means we're all doing our job well.
Yeah, and they could not have been sloppier in this game. They were the opposite. I mean, I fell for it, Olin. I mean, I was on the pregame show. I was feeling good about this game. I was on with both of you guys, and I felt like there were some things the Bears might be able to exploit with their offense, and it looked real good when the game started on the Bajan 41-yard pass to which you guys referred to Darnell Mooney to get the game going, and then Bosa just busts up the whole thing. How about the fact, too, I don't even know. I mean, they definitely mentioned it on the television broadcast, but Mooney was never touched after that. Mm-hmm. Mooney could have and should have gone into the end zone for six because he just sort of went out of bounds after the defender sort of lightly nudged him out, and they both sort of thought the play was dead, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the refs blew that. I think they blew it, but that's not changing the outcome of this game. I don't, you know, I just don't think at the end that one play is going to make that big of a difference overall, just because the way the game unfolded, they just got, you know, they got beat everywhere, and the defense couldn't stop anybody. Poor Tariq Stevenson had a really rough game. They kept targeting him all game. I would love to know how many times he was targeted and caught on. This is not a good game for him, but I just don't think that would have changed the play. But it is unfortunate that these referees, best in the world at what they do, but miss something as blatant as that.
Yeah, and then they had the penalties, right? Lucas Patrick had two of them on one drive, and it's just hard for this offense to overcome that. And like Grody pointed out, they were sloppy coming out. We worried about that. And that, again, goes to, Pat, like you know, handling success, right? Worried about your details going into your practice on Wednesday like you actually lost the game, right? Like somebody at the podium say, look, that was just one win. We are back to work now, right? Like, we're done with the victory lap. We got a lot of improvement to do. We're still, you know, we're still 2-6 or 2-7 or whatever we are, right? We don't have the right to celebrate that win against the Raiders. And the Bears have a very clear path to victory in the last 2 years, right? 170-plus rushing yards and win the turnover battle. Tonight, 73 rushing yards and lost the turnover battle. They weren't going to beat the Chargers that way. And how about the Chargers adjusting to the Bears being a little more aggressive with screens, right? With Eckler hitting him in screens, throwing the ball out there, checking it down, tackling showed up. You know, Coach Eberflus said last week at the podium, there's no house guests in our building as far as tackling goes. Oh. A lot of house guests tonight.
Oh, yeah, it was a full house.
Yes.
The right from the get-go on the 39-yard touchdown play from Herbert to Austin Eckler. You guys tell me what happened to T.J. Edwards. Did he just get completely pantsed on that play? Because that was a whiff of all whiffs the way I saw it.
I thought they described it well, that Eckler looked healthy, because you go back and look at some of those other games, He's a very special player, obviously, and he just didn't look the same. He looked a lot better, a lot more nimble today, a lot more just a lot healthier. And I think that's just a great player beating a good player. But overall, the rest of the team didn't tackle well either. I mean, it was one of those games. Like, it was ugly all around. You know, they had seven penalties. Another one is Cole Kmet. I think this is his third or fourth in two games illegal procedure, jumping off sides. You can't have that. This team is not good enough to do that. And we talked about it last week with a young quarterback. Well, how could he do that, or how could he handle the team and make sure they don't have pre-snap penalties? And they had quite a few of those again.
Yeah, and for me, again, guys, not enough DJ Moore, right? Not enough finding a way to get the ball in his hands. And that goes to not only my problem with the sweep, but hand that sweep to DJ Moore, right? Get the ball in his hands more often. Find a way to target him more than six times in the game. And I'm sure that they were taking him away, and I'm sure that they were double-teaming him. But like you see, the Chargers try to find a way to find Keenan Allen early and often in the first drive to threaten you with him and then go to their screens. And to your point of T.J. Edwards, he got beat bad by Austin Ekeler, who a lot of people don't want to be in the open field with. But my bigger problem But my bigger problem to your point, Grody, is this. How is no one else even in the vicinity, right?
Yeah.
I didn't see anybody else in it. Like, where is everybody? And that goes back to Eddie Jackson's not on the field. Brisker's not on the field. You got young safeties out there. I don't know exactly what happened on that play, but I know this. After one guy misses a tackle, it should be a 10 or 12-yard gain. It shouldn't be a 40-yard touchdown.
I got a question for you guys. How can you suit up for a game but not play? Not be healthy enough to play. Talking about Eddie Jackson, I just don't. There's too many like players doing that now, and it seems like the Bears have been doing that a lot. If you're healthy enough to grab a helmet and put shoulder pads on, why can't you play? How are you an emergency guy? I don't understand that. That goes back to what I was talking about in the pregame with you all, and that the game's changed a little bit. That's maybe my old school mentality that if you're dressed, you should be able to play. And I don't understand that. I guess that's just the easiest way to put it. I don't understand why, if you have a helmet and shoulder pads, why you're not playing.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point by you, and you know, you brought that up. It's just usually that if you couldn't play, they wouldn't suit you because they need that guy for special teams or in case someone gets injured. So it'd be a good question for Coach Eberflus of why Eddie suited up if he could not go out there and play. But I guess he was there for an emergency situation. One guy I do want to say is that Darnell Wright impressed me tonight again.
Yes,
the way he played. Playing with that arm, I question if he would play even this week after I watched the film last week. He played. He finished the game. They gave him a little help, obviously, out there against Mack and Bosa. Actually, a lot of help. But he still played good football, came off the ball on run plays, moved guys out of the way. So credit to him. You know, even with all these things going wrong, there was one bright spot out there.
Yeah, it seems like Darnell Wright has been developing at about the right rate. Like, he hasn't been perfect, obviously, and we've seen mistakes, you know, penalties. Actually, more of the penalties were preseason, but it just feels like this guy's heading in the right direction. Gentlemen, let's take some calls here. 312-644-6767 is the number. If you would like to talk to Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz, me, Mark Grody here on this, the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. We will be with you until midnight taking your calls and your texts, and then Mike Esposito will be on with you overnight. So we're going to keep this Bears talk rocking all night, all overnight, and then all day tomorrow as well, obviously. Let's begin with Chris in Evanston. Hello, Chris. You are on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Boy, the highs and lows of life, man. Hey, y'all. So don't even bring up my call from last week, because I'm like, everything you guys talking about, I drank the Kool-Aid. I knew we were going to come out here with a good game plan. They ran a good game plan last week for the Division II first starting NFL quarterback. Let's run the ball, play action, keep things simple. This week you come out and you go one-on-one deep on the first play, 41 yards, and what do you come back and do? You put your career punt returner. That's all he's ever done. I don't even think he took the field to line up behind the line of scrimmage this year since we traded for him. And you put the ball in his hands on a jet sweep. Then it's third and 10, third and 11, three plays later. And you do Who thinks you're going to run the ball? And who cares if you do? I got 11 yards to react to that run. Like, what's going on? This is the problem. And I'm still 100% against Justin Fields. I don't want to see him back on the field or with the Bears. But this is where when you guys talk about it, it's beyond Justin Fields.
Yeah, beyond. Yeah, sometimes it's actually more than just the quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. That is for sure. And I think it goes back in some parts to what Olin was saying, that just because you start to feel a little bit of success at some point in time, you better be ready for some serious resistance when teams start to think that you think you got something going on.
Yeah, and they've got a tough stretch coming too. You know, they have Carolina in the middle of it, but you look at, they showed the, you know, the rest of the schedule for the season. This could get ugly again. As happy as we were last week, I'm just as down this week because it's going to be, I was hoping it wasn't going to be like last season, and now it seems like it's going right back to that. Hopefully when Justin Fields gets back, he can help, but it just, you know, it was just an ugly game all around, and you just hate when you see another football team just dominate the Bears like that. You know, it wasn't even close. I mean, it just, there was not even, you never felt that way that it was, I mean, all right, they complete the 41-yard completion. You're like, all right, nope. And then it turns around, you're like, no, they're just better than us today, and they're going to beat us bad.
You know what's symbolic for me of that, Olin Krutz, and both of you, this had to upset the mentality of both of you guys. The fourth and one where the Bears had it on their own 29, 3:52 to go in the third quarter. It's 27-7 Chargers. Again, fourth and one. That's when Roschon Johnson gets the ball. They pitch it to him, and it was like he hesitated. Like, I put that one on Roschon Johnson. He just did look to me, Olin, like he just didn't hit the hole on that one, and that seemed to be indicative of the mentality tonight that the Bears just weren't winning any battles.
Yeah, it's a great point by you. He did jump cut. I looked like he missed his aiming point. I don't know. It's hard to see, obviously, from the TV copy exactly what's going on. I know Lucas Patrick got pushed back a little bit, but I thought that Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright got enough movement there on that fourth and one to get a first down. Obviously, we'd have to see the film and ask the Bears, where was Roschon Johnson exactly supposed to hit that? Because I don't know why he'd be behind the center there. But one question I have is I want to ask Khalil Mack, right? How the hell did you know Trent Taylor was getting the ball?
Yeah.
Like, I would have never guessed they're going to give Trent Taylor the ball. But the first thing I thought, guys, is on the second play of the game, they ran the ball. Remember with Deontay Foreman, he got 1 yard. But they faked the sweep to Trent Taylor. And I'm watching the game thinking, who even thinks he's going to get the ball? And sure enough, they're getting the ball on the next play, and Khalil Mack knew it. Like, I don't know how you'd even know that. But to the caller's point, like, Velus Jones, you know, Tyler Scott, Darnell Mooney, DJ Moore, you're giving a handoff to Trent Taylor. Like, I just don't, Pat, I just don't get it.
He's there just to catch punts, and that's kind of sad. Mm-hmm. I think that's why he has a job, to catch punts. I don't know why they're forcing him out there. You've got better athletes out there at the wide receiver position that can run that play. Well, you said, you have DJ Moore who can break arm tackles. We see what he can do with the ball in his hands. That should be if they're going to run that play, just give it to him. Because even if they think he might be getting it, he's still probably going to break the tackle. Maybe not Khalil Mack's tackle, but somebody else's tackle. Trent Taylor, that's, again, going back to the Luke Getsy going into the lab and trying to outthink himself. And that baffles me as well.
Yeah, I'll see you. The fleet flicker fake that they threw down, they were penalized. I think that was one of Lucas Patrick's back-to-back penalties at one point in time. Darnell Mooney, the wide receiver option on which he eventually just had to run the football. So yeah, he was definitely trying stuff, whether he was getting too cute or not, that's definitely up for debate. 312-644-6767. Let's continue on with this first full rack of calls. John is in Dallas. Hello, John. You are on the Score.
Hey, guys. Always enjoy you listening in. Listen, they were not motivated. They just didn't look prepared on a prime time. And then why is Getsy and Fields so far apart? Why are they not communicating on the sidelines together? Why are they never sing together? There's something wrong there. And my last thing is, let's look for, if we're not going to keep Fields, let's just go on trading And you know, let's table this other guy, man. He's a bag up. I'll hang up.
All right, thanks for the call. I don't think that there's an issue with Fields and Getsy. Let's not stir that. We already did that once. I don't have the energy to go through all of that again. But unless you guys think differently, Fields was interesting wearing the shades on the sidelines. I don't know if there was a reason for it. I don't know if you guys.
Hey, man, he was in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it looked good. He looked good. But
all you can do is you, right?
That's right.
All you can do is you out there on the sideline. You know, to the caller's point, right, about not being prepared, Pat. And I was wondering what you and also Mark, what you think about this. But it's like sometimes in the building, Pat, like you remember when you played, like there had to be guys who were just, I don't know, you know, ornery or mad all the time and keeping guys on edge and demanding that things are done the right way. And it has to be done even more after wins, right? Mm-hmm. Even after a big win, even when you know you have this story where people walk by and you just say something just to irritate somebody, right? Or maybe start something in practice and make sure everyone knows that the tempo has to be high again. We have to be executing. And when I watch these Bears right now, Lawrence Holmes brought up the other week when we were on the postgame show together, how would they handle success, right? How would they handle winning football games? And the only thing you can say right now without being in the building, without being around them is, I can only get the results on the field on game day. And you have to say they're not handling it well.
Olin, do you remember you used to always say there's too much kumbaya stuff going on?
Kumbaya. Yeah.
You would always say that. Like, and it's up to the coaches as well to kind of keep that mentality and that edge in the building and maybe make you feel uncomfortable in your meetings or at practice. It can't always be candy, roses, all that, you know, all that stuff all the time. And you're right, Olin. You were one that was very good at that, at taking temperature of the team and making sure there was always like just a little edge there. And then certain coaches would do that. You know, Tobe would do it every now and then to us in the special teams room. You know, Devin might return something and we have a big game, and he would just coach us even harder because he didn't want us to let down or let back and do all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that to me, that goes to the players, and it also goes to the coaching staff. The coaching staff needs to make it, you know, it doesn't have to be completely uncomfortable, but just make sure guys are still on things and not letting things slip and slide. And then that, to me, is how you handle success. And I guarantee you, when you hear about, like, Bill Belichick, let's go back to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. You talk to those guys that were in that locker room. They won all the time, right? And they said it was still uncomfortable all the time. Belichick made it that way. So they had to prepare for each game. You see, 16 weeks back then, for each game, it's a different identity, and they just made it a little uncomfortable in that building, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I don't know if they're doing that at Halas Hall, but whatever they're doing right now is not working because they don't have success.
And I will say this, and this has nothing to do necessarily with what is going on outside of the locker room, but for whatever it's worth, and I talked about this week during my Bears reports, I think it was on Thursday, that the locker room was jumping. Like, it was about as loud as I've ever heard it. And I don't know, it could have just been random reasoning. It was just maybe they had a great practice that day. But just to give you guys the temperature, it was probably about as positive as I've seen it in there. And that includes training camp. Not really in the locker rooms during training camp, but you could kind of check the temperature of certain players. We do have to take a break. We will talk more about this and whatever you want to talk about, those listening here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score, to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. 312-644-6767 is the number, along with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I am Mark Grody. Your calls, and we will definitely talk more about Tyson Bagent and his game, his future. We'll talk about Justin Fields and inevitably compare the two and talk about what should happen next for the Chicago Bears as far as the quarterback situation is concerned. The Bears go down. Bears lose big. Chargers 30, Bears 13. More of the postgame show is coming up on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bagent looking deep. Going to take a shot downfield. Jones fell down and couldn't hold off. Bayless Jones, they lost him back there. Bagent laid it out there. And it just is an incompletion.
That hurt. Velus Jones Jr. slipping and falling as he was wide open in the end zone, the ball hovering over him. He almost still made the catch that was in the second quarter as he just fell. He just straight up fell. It was 17-0 Chargers in the second quarter at that point, and it was just a rough game, generally speaking, for Velus Jones Jr., about whom we will speak here in just a second. But this is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley are here. I am Mark Grody, and I am in for Mike Mulligan, Mully, as we call him. And a thank you to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit aureliospizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it is the sauce. The Bears lose to the Chargers 30-13 was the final score. We'll get back to more of your calls here in just a second at 312-644-6767. But as long as we're talking about Velus Jones Jr.'s night tonight, and that was a key slip and fall. Also, Patrick Manley, a little fair catch interference on Velus Jones Jr. tonight at one point in time. It just seems like there's just so many times where things around him are just sloppy. Bad things seem to happen around Velus Jones Jr. on the football field.
Yeah, I think some guys sometimes just play themselves out of the league. You get exposed. I mean, that falling down the end zone, that's kind of embarrassing. That's going to be one. He's going to be in meetings with the wide receivers of the offense, and you just kind of, you'll see, look over that player and he'll have his head down because he doesn't really want to watch himself. And, you know, that's not an NFL type play. I mean, that's you know, you see that in high school. That's bad. Mm. And then as far as, you know, this team, they have a punt returner and a kick returner. Like, that, you're losing roster spots with those guys, and neither of them are difference makers. All right, if one of them was a difference maker, okay, I could see them keeping a spot. And another thing I have a problem with Velus Jones is when he's kick returning, he doesn't track the ball that well in that regard either. Everybody knows he has the punt return problems, but there's a lot of times he will not get to the ball or catch the ball being set and ready to go forward as soon as he gets it. Last week he fumbled one a little bit in the end zone. This week he just doesn't track the ball well enough to go ahead and give himself kind of a head start when you're getting underneath the ball to get the kick return going. And as we know, as the season goes along, you're going to have more home games here in Chicago. You can have a chance to return the ball more. There'll be swirling winds. And that's why sometimes I think you keep a guy, because you play in this weather and you'll have more opportunities. But he's just kind of playing. He's playing his way out of the NFL. He's just not proving to me to be the player where he was drafted in the slot he was drafted in, and then how dynamic he's supposed to be for this team. He's not making the difference for me.
Yeah, well, that is a good point, right? He hasn't made the plays we were sold on when he came here, Pat, right? Almost a Hester type, right? A guy, a difference maker on the return game. Obviously, they've had to take him off punt return already, and now we have Trent Taylor just because, like you're saying, tracking the ball and catching it and all these things that you know so much about. And then there's just not enough big plays. And to Grody's point, he does slip. I can't, you know, is Bajan supposed to lead him there? Did he underthrow him? There's a lot of things that go on there. But to your guy's point, when he's involved with the play, it always seems to be something, right? Yep. And that goes back to the thing, you know, we like to talk about is in football, you have to do all the little things right, or something can always go wrong, and then you have to be worth that risk. And I don't know if he is right now. You know, it tells you a lot, again, that they're faking sweeps to Trent Taylor, not to Velus Jones, right? No, Trent Taylor doesn't scare anybody, right? You want a guy like Velus Jones to scare somebody out there on those jet sweeps, and they just haven't found that guy.
That's absolutely the truth, man. And they have given him... So talking about Velus Jones Jr. now, they have given him so many opportunities, even when it looked like he shouldn't continue to get opportunities. We'll see how they continue to handle him. 312-644-6767. Bears lose to the Chargers 30-13. We are going to talk more about Tyson Bagent and Justin Fields. Don't worry, that conversation will be ongoing and coming up very shortly here. But Paul is in Chicago, and he's been hanging in there for a second. So, Paul, you are on the score.
Hey, fellas. And this one, Mark, please don't take umbrage with this, but I got to ask Pat and Olin. I feel like what Olin said immediately after when you guys started was, they're too happy with their wins. They're getting a little too, you know, whatever, jambalaya or whatever you said, kumbaya.
There we go. Jambalaya. No, that's next week in New Orleans.
I like to eat jambalaya while I do kumbaya.
Yeah, that's right.
Go on, Paul.
Sorry, Paul.
And Paul, I'm taking no umbrage. I feel no umbrage right now. Go ahead, Paul. Did we lose Paul? Oh, there he is.
Yes. Okay. So my question is, as former players, I know you guys talked about, like, Ted Washington kind of keeping everybody in check, or Olin, Pat, you talked about keeping people in check. Isn't it really on the coaches? Be like, okay, enjoy this win. I think the coaches are enjoying the wins too much. I think Getsy and Eberflus are enjoying these wins a little too much. They're like, oh, our jobs, we've got them a little bit longer now. And then they get a little too, then all of a sudden there's a jet sweep to the punt returner. You know, like, no, realize what you did well in that game to win, and then do it again next week. Don't get all over yourselves. Act like you've been there before. And I feel like that will trickle down to the players, because the players, it didn't. Like Mark said, they're sloppy. T.J. Edwards had 10 tackles, but he missed 4. You know, this is a team that just, I think because of so many losses that we've had in a row and over the last couple years, they just, every win is so great that they just forget, all right, well, we did it. We won. Great. That's all. That's what I have to say.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Paul. Pat, let's start with you, your reaction to that very passionate call.
No, I mean, what he's talking about coaches, and I said it before, that it's a whole building thing. I think to have a successful team and a successful locker room and a successful just building, it's got to come from coaches, and it's got to come from your players. But here's the thing, is that the wins are so limited that maybe they do deserve to celebrate them a little bit, but you don't want that. I'm just joking. You don't want that. You want them to enjoy it Sunday, enjoy it Monday, get back to work on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the next week. And I don't know how bad or how much celebrating is going on at Hallis Hall, but you have to make sure you take that win, enjoy it for a little bit, and move on. And it is up to coaches and players, and I thought we had a nice mix of that when we were there, Olin, that, you know, we had a lot of success and we had some failures as well, but I think that building always felt like that win, enjoy it. All right, you get here Tuesday morning when you're working out, you know, the off time for coaches or whatever. You got to start looking ahead. We're not talking about that last week.
Yeah, it's just getting old, right? Because like you talked about, everybody talks about this learning how to win or building a culture. These are key phrases people use when they talk about a football team. But they're extremely important, Pat, as you know, and Mark, as you know, extremely important to build that. And as we go along here, you wanted to see them learn from when they came back to play the Vikings after the Washington Commanders, right, where things didn't look right. But they came right back out. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm rewatching some of this game right now. And on that screenplay, Coach Flews, what he talks about, what he believes in, he's not going to be happy with a lot of guys on that defense on that screenplay for a touchdown. A lot of guys loafing around, some guys not doing their job. And to me, that just means, Pat, that you didn't come in with the same focus and intensity that you had to beat the Las Vegas Raiders. Because when you look like that on a play, that starts from Monday afternoon, right? When you should be already flipping the switch to the next game you got, especially when you're not winning a lot. And someone in that building needs to look those players in the eye and tell them the truth. And here's the truth. You probably don't want to hear it. You're not the most talented team out there on paper, right? So we got to do everything right. Our details got to be good. We got to execute. We cannot turn the ball over. We got to run the ball, and we got to play a little bit on an edge. By that, I mean we have to be extremely physical when we go against these Los Angeles Chargers, because they are the more talented football team.
Well, yeah, so. They are. Well, and, so. You know, eventually talent shines, and that was the big danger going into this game, that the albeit Chargers had lost two in a row. Two.
There's only one station to talk Chicago sports.
There is only one station.
There's the details, right? We lost our details there. Right.
Somebody just jumped off sides.
I got pulled off the stage right there.
We're first and 15. Come on, Cole Kmet.
That means that Sean Sears is sick of hearing from me right now. The Chargers beat the Bears 30-13. This is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. You've been hearing the voices of the former Bears, Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I am Mark Grody. Still plenty to discuss, including Tyson Bagent. I want to talk about Jalen Johnson tonight. And I also want to talk about a near interception that could have changed things big time in this game tonight, where the Bears lose to the Chargers 30-13. More your calls coming up as well, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.